Good morning, church. We have a special guest this morning. Actually, I guess he's really not a guest. He's family, but I wanted to give him an introduction for you guys who may be new. I know we've got a lot of new folks in the house. Our church is set up governmentally like this. We have what we call elders. We have two types of elders. The first are what we call trustees. Those are all local group that their job is to help oversee the finances. They set the budget within which I have to operate. And they oversee all the local stuff, and they help. We have quarterly meetings, and we plan for the future and plan for any expenditures, and they monitor our expenditures every week, and so they keep us safe here locally. The second group is what we call overseers. Overseers are who are responsible for me. They have two primary jobs. The first job is to make sure the church keeps running. How many of you would agree to this? And you can say a big amen to this. The church does not run around one man. Right? Now, here's the other part. This is not going to, don't applause because it'll be rude. How many of you know I'm not perfect? Thank you. I gave you your shot. You took it. For that reason, we have overseers. One of which is Justin Grace, Justin and Haley Grace, who are actually launching a new church in Olathe, Kansas. That's right outside of Kansas City in September. Hopefully they'll be here in May with us. And then the other one currently is Mr. Kenny Large. Kenny's been around with us for a long time. He's been a dear friend of mine. We've been through together in our personal lives, a lot of high highs and some really just cruddy places together. And I don't think that we bond ministerially, but we just have a connection that we can pick up where we left off because we've kind of been through the mess with each other. And the overseer's job is one to make sure the church keeps running. If something were to happen to me and I disappear tomorrow, there's got to be somebody in the Word that keeps the vision in the house that keeps the vision going. And that's the job of the overseers. The second job is for them to oversee me, to oversee my life spiritually, ethically, morally. If there arises issues, they have the ability to come in and set me down, to send me to get help or to correct me in any way. And it's comforting to me. Some people say, well, how do you do with that if somebody's constantly in your life? Because I believe the Bible says if you're not under authority, you have no authority. And so I have submitted my life to the bylaws of the church financially with our trustees locally and with our overseers who oversee my life, and they watch out for my good. We've been doing this. We made the change about a year ago, and it has really paid off because there's been times in the last year where they've come to me and said, listen, you look terrible. How many of you know you can work yourself right into the ground and not really know it? And there was last summer where I began to hit that place in my life, and the overseers and the trustees came to Melanie and I and said, you need to like go away for a couple of days. And so Melanie and I saved up some funds, and we went on, and some of you even helped bless us with that, and we went on a three-day cruise just to get away. But it's here for not only my protection, but for the church's protection. And so I make sure every year that we get Kenny's here twice a year, that the overseers are at least once a year in front of you so you know who they are. And you know this, that they have my heart in mind. And beyond that, more importantly, they have you in mind. That the church will function, keep thriving, because Jesus is on the throne, not a man, but the Son of God is on the throne. God is on the throne watching over us. Amen? Amen. Well, why don't you give a big Believers Church round of applause to Mr. Kenny Large.
Some of you didn't hear that. The reason they have me as overseer is because I'm not perfect neither. Hallelujah. Now Ken, go. Good to be in Georgia from Kentucky, staying at the Bob Sims and Tammy Sims Hotel. Hallelujah. Clint called and checked me. I got in on Friday, and he said, what you and Bob been doing? I said, man, you wouldn't believe how many deers we've killed and fishing stories we've told, everything we've done for the last hour. But it's good. Good to be here and good to be in town. I appreciate you guys. And some of you have been asking where my wife is. She's home resting. She worked four 10-hour days last 4 days, and she was wore out. And she said, I don't think I can go with you and drive 9 to 10 hours and turn right around and come back and do 9 to 10 hours on Sunday and go right back to work. So pray for her. She's had a rough week this week, and being in social work and being an RN and sometimes having to call adult protective services, child protective services, and dealing with stuff like that. And she had a real rough week this week with a family that brought in a lady that has many kids with dealing with drugs, and those kids are addicted to drugs as brand new babies, and that's tough on her. So say a prayer for her, okay, for Miss Kathy. Good to be here, and I appreciate Pastor Clint and Melanie and staff and all the people that are here. The friends, been a long, long time. I love you, pray for you, see you on Facebook. Chuck Parker, man, I was looking at that video, and the thing that stuck out to me is Chuck Parker right there in the front row, smiling, grinning ear to ear. Hallelujah. It was good. And so turn with me today. We're going to start in our first scripture in Proverbs chapter 3. Good to see Herschel with me. It's been about a year and a half or 2 years since I've seen him. He was always gone somewhere pumping concrete, doing something, picking up coffee or something. I don't know. I'm not sure what he's doing. No, just kidding. Good friends on him and Danielle, and good to see you all. I was in my office a few weeks ago, and after me and Clint, and I want to say this, I appreciate Pastor Clint, appreciate Believers Church. You all are a supporter of large ministries. And some of you that don't know me, how many of you hear me for the first time? Several. So I'm a full-time evangelist. Let me just tell you what, in the world we live in today, being a full-time evangelist is difficult. Because we used to have revivals, extended services, stuff like that, and it's difficult for evangelists to sometimes find places to speak. It's also difficult financially sometimes, relying on certain things on finance, and I'm fully by faith support. And so I want to say thank you, Believers Church, for continually supporting large ministries. Every person, when we go and preach and someone gets saved, guess what? You have a part of that. Every time someone gets healed, you have a part of that. Every time someone gets set free, delivered, whatever the case may be, you're a part of it. And I thank you for your giving and your support and Clint having me a couple times a year. And I always look forward to coming down here and hanging out with my southern friends from Georgia anyway. Man, we talk guns, motorcycles, all kinds of stuff. Ain't that right, Bucky? Hallelujah. But I was in my office, and when Clint, we talk several times during the year. He's busy, I'm busy as well, but we'll text each other. He's on my board as well. And so when we're talking, and the Lord spoke something when I hung up the phone, and I'm going to preach that here this morning. And I'm going to title this, whether you're in the titles or not, sometimes I have titles, sometimes I don't, but what mode are you living in as a Christian? And I thought the word mode and what mode we're in, and what the definition of mode is a way or manner in which something occurs in or something that you have experienced. Something that you have experienced personally yourself, and in that mode is how are you expressing that? How are you, what method or the system that you're using or your style, maybe your approach, technique, maybe a procedure, your practice. And I'm thinking about Believers Church, and I'm seeing some change here. And I like the change that Clint's brought to the table, getting out in the community, doing Project 216, blessing the kids, going to Honduras, all the things that's going on. I like what's going on here. Let me start again. I'm Kenny Large from Kentucky. I'm an overseer in the church. And I like what's going on at Believers Church. Now y'all waking up a little bit, all right? As y'all can see, I'm just down to where you are. Listen to me. I like to have fun, and I got a point on that, amen? I believe Jesus brought you here to have fun, so let's have fun, amen? But many people think that the Bible is only filled with commands labeled that thou shalt not. They think that they assume that the Bible is all about restrictions or making you live a boring life. And how many knows the Christian life is not boring? Amen. Why is it not boring? Because you choose to not be boring. You ever been around boring people? Do you like to be around boring people? I can be around people that laugh and joke and have fun and kid. My wife, you know, we celebrated our 1 year anniversary this last week, and we were someplace, and I was joking up, and that's the person behind the counter said, "Does he always act like this?" She said, "Always. You never know what he's going to say, how he's going to say it, and you never know how it comes out. If it comes out wrong, he'll say, 'Sorry, forgive me, didn't mean that,' and move on." Amen. Isn't that the way we're supposed to be? Just move on, all right? But so I thought about our mold and how we're doing this and how we're doing Christian life. And God has given us a gift, and this gift is our body. And our body, it comes with an owner's manual. And the Bible, in fact, is there's all kinds of instructions about how you take care of your body. Now listen to me. You all can look at me, and Large Ministries is growing. And you want me to tell you why? Ken, man, a spirit of slap's come on me twice already. And Ken Harlan's back there on that back row. You see, you know why he sits on the back row, right? But I'll come back there, brother. But and the first of the year, everybody, how many made a commitment that you're going to exercise and get in shape? Come on, raise your hand. Don't you? Some people, raise your hand. I'm going to exercise. I knew Winslow was in that realm. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to get it. How many of you said this? I'm going to eat healthy. How many said that? How many went after you said that, went out and got a greasy hamburger? Come on. We make statements sometimes and we'll say things like that. And you know, I is who I is, all right? I just don't sit out and eat, you know, bags and bags and bags of chip like my little boy does. My son, he's 11, and he the other day he said, "Daddy, can I have a cookie?" And I said, "Well, yeah, you can have a cookie." Well, he went over to the cabinet, and I looked over, and I didn't see him. I thought, "Christian, you over there?" And he was down there in the cabinet like this, opened up the package of cookie, and was eating cookies. And I said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm eating a cookie." I said, "A cookie. How many have you ate?" He said, "One row's gone, Daddy." That's the way we are, right? Come on, how many of you do that? Now, my wife is like, she's amazing. She'll say, "I want a cookie." When she says she wants a cookie, she wants one cookie. I don't have that willpower to do one cookie. I want the whole two rows, all right? But see, God has given us a gift, and he gives us an owner's manual. And you already know the basics, the proper nutrition, exercise, good night's sleep, and things like that. But I'm going to take it in another realm that God's given me some health factors in our body, okay, that go along with you living a good Christian life. And the first one is this: trusting God is good for your health. Faith. Trusting God no matter what. And let's look at the scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not into your own understanding. If you have your little handout here, there's the scriptures are there. There's a place for you to take notes. If you're visiting, it's all right there. I like when they do stuff like that. See, why is trusting God so good for your health? Because when you trust in him, listen to me, it's a key word, we don't worry. How many worry? Be honest. Worry about, let me ask this question. How many have you adults, my daughter, she will be graduating in May, and she's got some things to learn as becoming an adult. She wants to be an adult. Come on, and I've been there. And I said, "Honey, I understand how you." "No, you don't, Daddy. You don't know how us teenagers think." Well, how do you think I got to be 52? I had to go through those teenage. I know it's different than today's world. I didn't have the smartphones. I didn't have those things. I didn't have Snapchat. I didn't have Instagram and all those things that you all have. I understand that. But when I think about this, see, if you really trust in God, you're going to be less stressed. And I have an older son. He's in Indiana, and he is doing really good. That's all I can just say. I'm proud of him. And he texted me the other day, and he calls me Pops. He said, "Pops, I miss you." He said, "I miss my daddy. I miss our talks." And when he was at home, we would sit down and he would say, "Let's have a wisdom day." And he said, "Speaking to my life, Daddy." Listen to me. When God speaks into your life and you're trusting him, don't you see how worry and stress goes away? But yet our flesh comes right back and we say, how am I going to? So you adults, let me ask you this question. How many of you sometimes had a bill and you're thinking, how in the world am I going to pay the bill? Then after you get the bill paid, you think, how did that happen? Anybody? Come on. I know I'm not just preaching to myself, all right? But see, we look at it as a Christian life sometimes, and sometimes we think, well, how can we support Honduras trip? How can we support this? Step out in faith and say, I'm going to trust you, God. If God speaks something to you, how many knows you that when he speaks something to you, he's going to fulfill it? But we got to trust him. Come on. We got to trust him. And so when I think about that, see, you know, you have a choice. You can either worry or you can worship. You can either worry about it, fret, be stressed, all these things, or you can worship God. You can either pray or you can panic. How many's panicked before? Come on. Man, Clint, you got a whole bunch of spiritual people here, man. They have no issues. No one's panicked. Everybody's staying in faith. No one worries. I'm done. Hallelujah. Either that or asleep. I'm not sure what's going on today. But the more you pray, the less you will panic. The more you pray, you will relax. And the more you relax, you will understand God's going to take care of me. God, you're going to take care of me. You're going to help me. You're going to be there for me. See, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:30, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. Now that's tough right there. I mean, that's a hard scripture. See, it's not just what you eat that matters. It's what eats you. Now I've met some people, man, that are stressed out. I've met some people say, you can have all of the right things going. You can have all, I mean, you know, we live in a world, and I understand health. I like, you know, my fruits to be the best of the fruits. And you know, when I at the Sims Hotel today, my breakfast was some grits, cheese grits with some sausage in it, a cup of orange juice, and a good banana. And I told Miss Tammy, I said, listen, I'm going to eat the grits and the sausage and that, and I'm going to drink that orange juice, but I'm going to take that banana with me. So on my way today, I'll be having me that good banana. And I like my stuff to be the best of the best and organic and all those things that we face today. And see, there's all kinds of these gimmicks. They'll say, you know, this, you pay more for this one because it's better than that one. Well, why is it? Sometimes I'll go places and I'll say, why is this? Are these two not the same thing? Why is this one? And I think they just decided we're going to say it's better and raise the price. Anyone know what I'm talking about? All right. So when I thought about that, I thought you can have all the right organic food, but if your body is filled with resentment, if it's filled with worry, if it's filled with fear, if it's filled with lust, if it's filled with guilt, if it's filled with bitterness or any other emotional disease, listen to me, it is going to shorten your life. Come on, see, you either listening or you're asleep. I think you're all listening. See, because we got to learn to trust God in every area of our life. See, point number two is the thing that we can do as a Christian is it's good for us to confess our sins because confession keeps us healthy. Now, we don't do it like we see in the movies and go and speak to someone in a booth and say, Father, please forgive. No, we talk to Jesus and say, God, forgive me. So when we do that and we understand what God is doing, there's a scripture here in Psalm chapter 32. Look at this. But any psychologist will tell you that it's good for you to clear your conscience and to get things off your chest. How many times in your life have you got things off your chest and you felt better? Here's the word we use today, rant. Where do we usually rant at? Twitter or Facebook? I have all kinds of friends that they'll say this, please forgive me of my rant. And then there goes the rant. See, they already know I'm going to say some things you don't like. Come on. Some of you say, I don't like you already because you're talking about my Facebook post. I ain't going to follow you on Facebook. But I'm trying to help you today, all right? But see, your body is not made to hold it in. When you hold guilt inside you, it's like shaking up a can of soda pop. And when you open it, it's going to burst. Look at this scripture. I love this scripture. David says this. He says it this way. Psalm 32, 3 through 5. When I refused to confess my sin, I was weak and miserable. And I groaned all day long. My strength evaporated like water in that summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. And you forgave me and all my guilt is gone. How many wants to live that way? Live free, guilt free. I mean, I came a few, I mean, being an evangelist, I mean, sometimes people think, man, I'd love to do what you do. You go and preach at the church and they take you out to dinner and it's all good. You see, you just see that part sometimes. You don't see sometimes when some pastor will tell me this. Okay, Kenny Large, we're going to book you to come to our church and we're going to fly you out there and you've got one shot to do your best. And if you do good enough, we'll have you back. How many would you like to do that? I've had pastors tell me that. We'll see. Now, I understand. Listen, I've connected with Believer's Church. I have lots of friends here. All right? I mean, and Pastor Clint and Melanie, friends, we hang out. The girls hang out. I mean, you know, when we went out to dinner last night, you know, the girls wanted to sit by me, and there's only so many seats. And so, you know, Mabel, she was quicker than him last night. So she got there and sat down and said, I'm sitting by Mr. Kenny. And we played and have a good time because Kenny's a big kid too, all right? And I have a bunch of friends here, people that I have stay in contact with, people that text me, and we talk. And, I mean, I share things with you. I mean, you know, my buddy Bob, when I got my first buck this year, man, I was so excited. And I was up in that tree, and I shot that thing, and I called my brother first, and I said, Tommy, I got my first deer. He goes, Kenny, it's my brother. Is it dead? I said, yes. He said, why are you whispering? I said, I don't know, but I killed it. And then I text Bob and said, I got it. He said, send me pictures. See, we shared exciting moments together. We share life together. We God says, but when you do make mistakes, when you confess them, get them off your heart. See, David took his guilt and its physical effect on his body. If you don't talk out your problems, your guilt, your bitterness with God, you're going to take it out on your body. All right, now listen to me. I'm going to share Clint and I, you know, we had mentioned that. He needed, him and Melanie need to get away. Listen to me. As I'm going to speak to the church right now, as an overseer of this church, help this couple get away often. See, it's amazing. I see this all the time. Now, I got away last week. Me and my wife celebrated our first 1 year anniversary, and some people got all spiritual with me. They said, I saw you went to Las Vegas. And you know what I said? Ain't none your business. I didn't do anything wrong. I went to Hoover Dam. 2 days we stayed in the hotel room. 2 days I got up because Kathy won't go out when she ain't all made up, you know. I'm a redneck from Kentucky. I wore my redneck shirt downstairs to get my coffee. You know I got to have some coffee. I threw my hat on that says, shoot them. With my redneck shirt and my blue jeans. Lucky I didn't wear my camo flip-flops. And I walk downstairs, gives me some coffee, because, I mean, I don't know what's wrong with them. They don't have coffee makers in the room in Nevada. They need to delivered. I don't know. But see, I don't worry about those things. See, I know who I am. I know who I am. But the funny thing is, most people that's pointing fingers back, they got a whole bunch of stuff going on in their life. I'm preaching a whole lot better than y'all amening today. I think I'm preaching so good you all don't know what to say. Doctors say a lot of people could leave the hospital today if they would get rid of guilt, resentment. My wife works at the hospital. She's told me many, many times, she said there's been people there that's about ready to die that won't die because of someone hanging on. They need to talk to somebody. And I have, you know, I got a whole bunch of thoughts on that, and I'm going to share them with you today. But see, people on the deathbed, see, and there's many things. I hear of a bunch of stories. I heard a story one time. You're going to like this story. What time is it? 11:07. What time am I supposed to be done? 11:30? 11:20? I better hurry. Bob says, you're good. Bob's giving me good of there. But I looked at that clock and it was saying 15, 14, over 14 minutes. I'm not sure that's how much we're recording here. So I heard about a funeral one time of Daddy Grady passing away. And they called a friend of mine to do his service. And he knew someone in the family, and they had Grady, and they brought Grady up, and they had him laid down in the casket. And he said when he showed up, there was all kinds of things in the casket. There was a sign laying over him that one of his sons put over his head and said, "Daddy Grady, Bubba forgives you for what you did to me." Now, you know, my pastor friend said, I didn't know what they were talking about. And said the family was just in turmoil. A lot of things were going on. And when it come time to do the funeral, and he said that it was kind of a strange, different funeral that he'd done, not your typical religious type funeral. And he said when he showed up to do the funeral, he said, "Here's what we want you to do. We want you to bring someone from your church, and we want you to sing Amazing Grace. We want you to preach a sermon. And then after you sing Amazing Grace and preach your sermon, we're going to sing a song. We're going to play a song." Well, their song they chose to play was "Prop Me Up Beside the Jukebox When I Die." Well, that was quite unusual for this pastor. He said, "Well, I've never done a funeral like this before." And so then he closed the funeral, closed the casket, and then they were getting ready to walk to take Grady out and put him in the limo and in the hearse and take him to the graveside. And he said, all at once, literally, he had eight sons, and eight sons got in a fist fight fighting on who was going to take Daddy Grady and put him in the car. Literally had to call the police. And finally, the police said, "You either pick six people out in 2 minutes, or I'll take all eight of you to jail." They took less than 2 minutes and picked six out. And then when they got to the graveside and he was ready for, you know, to put him in the ground, one of the boys said, "We've got to give Daddy Grady a good send-off. Everybody go get your guns." And they gave him a gun salute. See, sometimes what we think of life is, and how we think, people are different. Not everybody's like you. But what we've got to do is we've got to figure out in our Christian life what we are to be. And when we figure that out, we got to plug in to Honduras trip. We got to plug in to Project 260. We got to plug into the areas that God wants. We got to help the community. Be who you are to be. Quit worrying, guilty, trying to be somebody else. Be who you are. Confess your faults. Say, "God, I'm sorry," and move on. Move on. I've made mistakes. If I made a mistake and you all found out about it, most of the people would be, "I got to get him because he's a preacher." Come on. If Clinton made a mistake and he lost his cool at Bilo, and Megan told on him, "Man, we're going to get Pastor Clint. He should not be acting like that." But yet, person who goes to church act like that, "Well, he's supposed to forgive me." Right? Come on. Spend some moments in prayer today asking God to forgive you and the things you've done. See, then pray about resentment and bitterness and you're holding against people who you have hurt. And listen to me. One thing I found in ministry, you will hurt people in ministry, and people's going to hurt you. And isn't that in life? You've hurt. Don't mean to, but it's happened, all right? Number three, being a generous person keeps you healthy. Being a generous person keeps you healthy. Doesn't it make you feel good to give to somebody? Doesn't it make you feel good that you can support a project that's going on? See, many people think the Bible is only filled with commands, as I told you so about labeled, "thou shalt not." And they assume the Bible is all about restrictions and making you lead a boring life. But God wants you to live a joyful, Listen, a joy-filled, happy, healthy life. Let's have some fun. See, give generously to, is good for your health. Every time I'm generous, every time I'm giving, it improves my health. I'm going to share something with you. The church we go to is called Grace Culture, and we attend Grace Culture when I'm in town, and they have done some amazing things. They give bicycles away. People that don't have cars. Now, I've met some people that, well, can't you give me a car? Well, let me ask you a question. If they give you a car, if you can't afford your car, how are you going to afford gas and insurance? How come we think that we got, when we get something, we got to have everything laid out for us, given to us? No, see, listen, my stepdad, he bought me my first car. And it was paid like $100 for it, and it wouldn't hardly run. I had to work on it. I drove it up. I wasn't even licensed to drive. I drove it up and down the alley, working 3-speed on the column. Anybody remember those? You know, and I had friends of mine, what's that thing down there? It's called the clutch. What's a clutch for? I tell you, my daughter, when she got 16, we got her a car, and she had a wreck, She was a place she shouldn't have been, had the wreck, crashed a car. Still today, car looks crashed. Why? Because you got to learn. You got to fix it. Oh, daddy. Don't old daddy me. Amen. Listen to me. You know there are more promises in the Bible about giving than any other subject. God wants you to give. God is a giver. Everything you have is a gift from God. He's generous, and he wants you to be generous too. The Bible says, look at this, Proverbs 11:25. Look at it. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be what? How are you going to get refreshed? I'm going to say this. I have had people come in prayer lines and say, I just need for God to refresh me. Point to that scripture. You ought to highlight that in your scripture. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be what? Now, that isn't always talking about money. That's talking about giving your time. It's talking about being a good person, helping someone. And so, see, there's a reason why it's always feels good to help someone, whether you're giving financially, materially, or just giving your time. It doesn't matter. It helps you feel good, right? It does me. I mean, it helps me feel good. I mean, I've changed since I was here last time. I got my hair cut. That Ken back there, he's saying amen 5 times. But I had a little boy come up to me a while ago, and he looked at me and said, hey, Mr. Kenny, looks like you lost your hair. I said, no, I know where my hair is at. I donated to a cancer survivor, and that made me feel good. Let me tell you something. This is true fact. I'm going to close here just a moment. I had some Christian people tell me, what's wrong with Kenny? Did he backslide because he got long hair? Did not know my heart. They did not know that my good friend from high school had cancer. She called me and said, would you pray for me? And I prayed for her. The next thing she said, what am I going to do? I'm going to be losing my hair. When I got off the phone, the Holy Spirit said, grow hair and donate it. And my first thought was, I wonder what the church people's going to think about it. But I went to the churches for those years. I don't know, it took me over to get the longest I had it, about a year and a half, maybe a little bit longer. And when I donated, but I had people come up to me at the back door because they were afraid to say it out here and say, Kenny, thank you, and cried and said, my son, my daughter, my mom, my dad needed hair. And that was one of their issues. But I can tell you today that my friend now is cancer-free and has her own hair. So God can speak some things to you, all right? Point number four, so I can wind up here, all right? Point number four, and I'm gonna quit real quick. If you walk clock watchers, I've got 4 minutes. Just kidding. Number four, he who laughs, last. He who laughs, last. Look at this. In Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit zaps a person's strength. Isn't when you're broken, when you're down and out, you're just zapped? You're just like, I have no strength. See, as I've mentioned in this sermon many times, people think that the Bible's thou shalt not. But this should put a smile on your face. Having fun is good for your health. You hang around me and Bob very long and stay in a hotel, you're going to have fun. Right, Tammy? That's why Tammy says, I'm going to the other room. But listen, God tells us in his word that life is meant to be enjoyed, not just endured. All right? A cheerful heart is good medicine. See, I like to put it this way. He who laughs, he who laughs, last. Learn to laugh at yourself. Put some play in every day. Relax, chill, have some fun. Put some play in every day. My wife is very different than I am. She's shy. I'm not shy, as you all can tell. I'm outgoing. She's not as outgoing. I never meet a stranger. I mean, sometimes people may not like to be high-fived, but I like, hey, give me five. I chest bump some people, they wouldn't get mad. It's just, woo! Wouldn't it be fun? Chuck, I'm going to give you a chest bump when I get there. I feel anointed chest bump from me and Chuck coming on. But listen to me. I come today with this heart to tell you that life should be fun. Believers Church, let's have fun reaching people for Jesus. Show them love. Get rid of the guilt, pain, resentment, stress, all the things I mentioned about. If you want this, I'll email this to you. I'll text it to you. Give me. I'll give this whole. I didn't get all my notes done. But I want to tell you this. Number one, as a Christian, I want to tell you I love you. Number two, as an overseer and helping Clint, doing whatever he feels led, and he calls me, we talk, we text. I love Believers Church. I want to say this. I love you all. I love coming here. I want to come here until Jesus takes me home. Would you all have me here until Jesus takes me home? All right? So I want you to stand with me. I want you to bow your head very quickly. I'm going to ask this question. Is there anyone here to sound of my voice say, Kenny, I do not know Jesus as my Savior. I want to know him. I want to know him like you present. If you want to bow your head, close your eyes, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine. There's no certain format we have to do. But I do know this, Jesus wants to save you. Is there anyone here that says, Kenny, I want to know Jesus in my heart and my life? If that's you, lift up your hand real quick. Anyone? I see that one. Anyone else? I see that hand. Anyone else? I see that hand back there. Anyone else? This is what we can do right there where you're at. Say, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I invite you into my heart, into my life. I'm now a child of God because of what God done for me by sending his only son, Jesus, to die for me. And because of that, I confess my sin. I am a child of God. Amen. See, it's that simple. Now, some people get tore up like, well, they didn't come up front. They didn't make a big hoodoo of it. Listen to me. Jesus is so many places that we don't give him credit for. It's things we thought of. But I will ask you this. If you said that prayer and you meant it, there'll be people like Winslow that will help you. Winslow, raise your hand. Everybody know Winslow? Right there, Winslow in the middle. If you said that prayer, go talk to him. Go see one of the leaders. They'll get you plugged in the right direction of which way to go and what to do next, all right? Now, here's what I'm going to do. I felt led to do this. I was going to do it at first, but real quick. Some of you may be going through some stressful stuff, going through some things in your life, your marriage, your finances, your life. You're stressful. Is there anybody that I preached to today? Raise your hand. Come on. Wow, look at that. I want you to hold your hand up. I want you to look around. It's just not you. So the reason I felt that is I believe because of God. So I'm going to say this prayer and I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Clint, all right? Lift up your hands. Everyone lift up your hands. Lord, I bless those that are here that are going through things, I pray, God, your grace. I pray your righteousness, your mercy, your kindness, your love on them. I bless them, whatever they're going through, whatever they're faced with, no matter what they're challenged with, God, I bless them right now, supernaturally. Holy Spirit, touch them where they're at, minister to them, touch their bodies, heal their bodies, touch their businesses, prosper them in every way. We believe it, we receive it, and we thank you for it, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Now lift up your hands and give them a big shout of praise.